This is Pastor Harvey with the Bible Hour broadcast. It's so good to have you with us today. We pray that the Holy Spirit of God will bless your heart. Stay tuned now for the next 15 minutes as we break open the precious, precious Word of God, God's holy book, the Bible. And now we have an offer, offer number two, for those that are interested in finding out where we got our King James Version of the Bible. We believe on this broadcast, I do myself and our church holds the same view, and the fact that the King James Version of the Bible is the closest to the original manuscripts in the English language. Now, of course, in other countries, there are other languages that the Bible is translated into, but we are English-speaking people as a whole, and so we need to find the very best translation in the English version. Best translation, and then stick with that version. Many say, well, I think this version is better. I think this version, the New American Standard, or the American Standard Version, or the Living Bible, or Good News for Modern Man, and so forth. But I find that most Bible-believing, soul-winning churches stick to the old King James Version of the Bible, even if they do not believe that that is the best translation, they still use it. Well, if the others are better, I think they'd do better off using them. But I believe they're using the old King James mainly because God has so put his stamp of approval on it. So if you're interested, just send for this sketch of the Bible. This is called The Two Streams of the Bible by Roland C. Starr. And we'll send this to you free of charge. It'll be a real blessing to you. And then also we have a Zondervan Bible, a beautiful a leather-bound Bible, brown. It's a King James Version, center column reference, easy to read, clear black, bold print, and self-pronouncing. It's got 160-page concordance, 64 pages of helps, 8 pages of maps, presentation page, and a family record, and then it has the words of Christ printed in red. A beautiful Bible, be a beautiful one for yourself or for some in-law, some friend or relative. And now you need to be thinking, Christmas time is not that far off. This would be a good time to set aside, buy a couple of these beautiful Bibles. If you'll send $10 or more toward the Bible broadcast, then we'll send it to you, postage paid. $10. Now, these Bibles are worth much more than $10. In the store, they would cost you between $18 and $25 for one of these Bibles. We just want to get the Word of God out into your hands that you might be able to enjoy these and they might be a help. What better gift could you give at Christmas than the precious, precious, holy Word of God, the Bible? We trust you'll send to the Bible Hour, Post Office, Box 2, Gettysville, New York, zip code 14068. I repeat that. The Bible Hour, Post Office, Box 2, Gettysville, New York, 14068. And that Gettysville is Gettysville. Gettysville, New York. We trust you'll send today, and we'll send them to you off as soon as we can. And depending on how many we have left, we don't have many, so we trust you'll send in right away for these Bibles and for the sketch. And we'll praise God, and you can learn the Bible and find out where the Bible came from. That's offer number two. Now let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the book of Romans that we've been studying. And I pray the precious, holy Word of God will find lodging in the hearts of those who need Christ, who have never been born again of the Spirit of God. May this be the glad hour when they turn from sin to the Savior, when they turn from self to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, their Redeemer who died on the cross that they might be set free. And then, Father, we, your children, we need a blessing as well. Have thine own way. Bless each one that's listening in. Whatever their need might be, meet that need, and we'll praise thee and glorify thy name. We pray, Father, you'd meet the financial expenses of the broadcast as well. We know you're able. This is thy business. Take care, and we'll praise thee in his name. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're studying, and we've gotten down in the first chapter of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, verse number 18. And we've looked into this a little bit, but we didn't get far. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, the Bible says all, what does it say? The wrath of God is revealed from where? From heaven. You mean to tell me that God gets angry? The Bible says that God, our God, is a consuming fire. God is angry in the Old Testament, it says, with the wicked every day. Let me say this, God hates sin. God has hated sin. He is now hating sin, and He forever shall hate sin, either in your life, my life, or in anyone else's life. God cannot and will not allow sin to enter into heaven. You say, well, how are we going to get to heaven then if there's no sin in heaven and we all sin? The Bible does say that. Over in 1 John, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's so. We've made him a liar, the Bible says in that same chapter, if we say that we are without sin. That's so. But thanks be unto God, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth our soul, cleanseth us from all sin. All sin. It's the blood that cleanses us. It's by faith when we receive Jesus Christ into our heart, salvation is implanted in the bosom and the soul of the man that repents and turns to Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? If you're a Christian listening in, you ought to thank God like I am now for being saved. What a privilege to be called a son of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Oh, it's a privilege to be a child of God. What a thrill to pick up my Bible day by day and look into the pages of God's blessed holy book and to know that God is interpreting through the Holy Spirit His word to my heart that I might have life, daily life and victory over sin. But thanks be unto God, it's because one day I repented and turned from my way to Him and turn from my sin to the Savior. God is angry with sin. He still hates sin. And let me say, even if you're saved now, God hates sin in the saved person's life, even as He does in the life of the person who is not saved. God hates all kinds of sin. And so we need to, by God's grace, get the sin under the blood. And then if we're saved, we've been born again, it is under the blood. Then by God's grace to keep our sins confessed. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that's for Christians, that verse. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, thanks be unto God. We can just come to Jesus. No go-between, no mediator, no one to come through. It's only go to God the Father through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and your prayers are simply answered because Jesus is the one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Now God's angry with the wicked. It says here, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Oh, I'll tell you, our generation is full of ungodliness. We need to realize this. And then unrighteousness of them who hold the truth in unrighteousness. How can a man hold the truth in unrighteousness? Well, many men know the truth, not in their heart, but they know the truth in their head, in their knowledge. They have followed, they have believed like they ought to, that there is a God in heaven. And not only that, they have come to the conclusion, the right conclusion, that they're going to have to give account to God one day. And they hold the truth. They do know the truth, but they don't know the one that gives the truth. They don't know Jesus Christ. And then it says in verse 19, because, see, it goes on and tells why, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. In other words, the knowledge of God is there. They know there is a God. They know Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sin. And yet they don't know what? They don't know Him personally. And then it says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The Bible shows us in Romans chapter 1 that the whole world is guilty before God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, on Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. There's none righteous, no, not one. Not even you, not even me. There's none that's holy. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is our holiness. Jesus is our perfection. And if you don't have Him, then you have no holiness, no perfection, no righteousness. The answer is trust Jesus Christ. And then you'll have the righteousness of God. You'll have the perfection of God. You'll have that which is necessary to take you into that perfect, sinless heaven that God has prepared for every born-again child of God. Just receive Him. Trust Him today, and you'll be saved. It says they, what? Knew. the invisible things, the creation of the world. You look out and go out. I remember when I was a young boy and I was in the Boy Scouts, and I'd sit out there under the sky and look up one night, and I never saw so many stars in all my life. And I thought, oh, isn't that the most beautiful thing I've ever seen? And I knew there was a God in heaven. I knew there was a God that I'd have to give account to one day. My mom and daddy had taught me that, and I'm so glad for that. And yet, oh, as I looked at the sky, I could see right there that there was a God in heaven. Surely man had not made the stars. Surely man can't even get hardly past the moon. And yet what? God has flung all the celestial bodies out there in the heavens. He has made everything. What a great God we have. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Oh, you just can't hardly look around and see a tree, how it lives, and a little seed becomes a great tree and not believe in God. You can't pick up a little newborn baby and not say, oh, it must have been a great, great intellect that so made this perfect little body, these two eyes, these two ears, and this body just like it is. 10 toes and 10 fingers, how amazing it is. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is our great Redeemer. And the heavens declare the glory of God, so that they are without excuse, it says. Every man is without excuse because he can see the creation of God. He ought to respond and repent and turn to Christ. Because that when they knew God, this is speaking about intellectual knowledge, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Let me say that this is important to see the fact that head knowledge is not sufficient for salvation. You can know there is a Jesus Christ. You can know he died on Calvary for your sin. You can know that he paid for your sin with his precious blood even. But until you, by faith, repent and turn from your wicked way and receive Jesus Christ, you're not born again until then. There was a man that came running to Jesus one time, and he bowed down, a rich young ruler, and he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." He said, "Well, I've done all that from my youth up." He said, what lack I yet?" And Jesus said, "One thing thou lackest. Go sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me." And the Bible says he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Oh, he loved his money more than he did the one he came and bowed down before and had eternal life right in his hands to give him. He would not give his money to the poor. He would not give it all. Now, let me say, there is no salvation. Christ is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all in regard to salvation. There's no salvation unless you make Jesus the Lord of your life. Not the church, not the preacher, but Jesus Christ who died for you, receiving him by faith. And then it says, neither were thankful. We're in an unthankful age. People don't know how to say thank you anymore. They're unthankful. They just do not have that thankfulness that God made them and God gave them life and gave them breath, but we must be to have the blessing of God. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The Bible says their heart was darkened. They weren't thankful, and they didn't glorify God. They didn't really know God in the way of their heart. And what? Their foolish heart was darkened. Oh, if you have any light at all, respond to that light. Receive Christ. Give your heart to him today. Would you do it? I trust you. Bow your head right now and say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Receive me. I need salvation." If you're riding in your automobile, would you pull over to the side of the road and by faith just say, "Lord, I'm a sinner." Just in your own words, "I need help. I need salvation. I need to be born again. The preacher's right. I need to be saved. I need Bible salvation. And I trust Jesus. I turn from my wicked way and I give my life to Jesus with all my heart." Would you do it? I trust you will. And then if you do, please write to us that we might send you some free literature that might help you in your walk with Jesus Christ. I trust you'll write to us. That is the Bible Hour, Post Office Box 2, Gettysville, New York, 14068. Write to us today, and may God bless you.